What's going on, everybody? This is Renee Perez and Curtis Owens, and you're listening to the Rough and Real Podcast. What up, what up, what up? Curtis, my boy, how you doing?
Dude, you're starting out slow today. Usually you're all energetic.
And I am, bro. I don't know. Today is a different vibe. It's a different vibe today, bro.
Why is it a different vibe, though, today?
Well, there's somebody in the house, so
somebody actually special today.
Yeah.
We've talked about her before. We've mentioned her as Pastor PA. She's actually Pastor PAW now, okay?
PAW.
She just switched up, if you don't know. Speaker, consultant, coach, counselor. Actually, my personal counselor.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Pastor yo.
Arabella Whitlock.
Yo,
welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, boys.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. We've been talking about it for a while. Yeah, you are kind of quiet this morning.
I am.
I need the what's up, everybody.
No, that's the intro. We add that later.
Oh, I see. So this is just all cut up. You just put in what you like.
Yeah.
We want to keep it consistent and stuff like that.
That way people also aren't scared of coming in the room with us and hanging out, because sometimes people do get scared of coming in here. Were you scared coming in here?
I don't know if scared's the word. I would say I was a little bit nervous.
Apprehensive?
A little bit apprehensive.
Apprehensive.
I mean, how are you going to even go there? I mean, you two together is like visiting prisons. So.
What is going on here with the jokes?
I'm
morning.
I'm starting to think that was a compliment.
That's a big deal. If I'm joking in the morning, it's a big deal because I'm not a morning person.
So. Tell us about this. I could have swore you were like a 6 a.m. person.
Yeah, you don't
like
know me.
Like fired up, ready to go, energetic.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
No, my poor husband. When I married my husband, I'll never forget our first week of marriage. He's walking around with his coffee, talking and whistling. And I'm just like shooting him looks. I'm like, what are you doing? Because mornings for me, I just need quiet. I need space. And it's just not a good thing for me. And my kids are like the same way. The only morning person in our house is my husband. And my whole family, we're night people. And mornings are rough.
Does he go to sleep early? Or is
Yes, he does.
Okay, so he's an
And early. As he's gotten older, we're like laughing. One day he's like, okay, guys, I'm hitting the hay.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, it's like 6:30.
Shout out to Lenny. Lenny's a good dude.
He's a good man. God gave me a good one. He's very supportive of all my craziness.
All right, have him on the show. We got to bring him on.
Have hours and hours of tape and stories.
It's amazing.
So what's going on with you, Pastor?
Oh, gosh, so much stuff. So some family stuff. It's been a year. I mean, I've shared with people as I've been speaking this last couple months. It was probably one of my harder years in life, even though, you know, we got through it and it wasn't anything devastating. I mean, my dad did pass away recently and that was rough. And
sorry to hear about that.
But he was up in his, you know, he was up there in years and had Alzheimer's. And so it was sad. And yet, you know, that he's in a good place. Mm. And, you know, it's just had a lot of, I don't even want to call them hits. I just think God was saying, you know, I'm going to transition you. And transition isn't easy when you are at a place you absolutely love and people you love to be with. But God really said, you know, I have a different mission for you, which he's been talking to me about for years. But, you know, having that, the faith and the trust and the ability to just surrender it and say, okay, let's do it. I think it took a lot of time to build that up. So, So I've been doing that transition. Is what I'd call it right now. But as you know, I started, so I'll just give a shout out to Arabella's Hope, which is the organization I started. Been brewing for a long time, trying to come up with a name. And the reason we came up with Arabella's Hope, and I say we because I do a lot of talking to, you know, some support team members that I have, is because I have a deep desire to see people realize their dreams. Like, I think I sat on my dreams for way too many years. And so here I am. Older than 50. We're not going to tell you how many years older, but...
I didn't even know you were over 50. I had no idea. Yep.
Well, you guys are sweet, but yeah. No, I got to be comfortable. My girls say, be comfortable with your age. So I will say I'm 56.
Oh, you're 56? No, seriously, I didn't know that. I really did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm just so you know, you guys can't see it, but I'm literally sliding them 20s right now. Just to keep the comments. Really just to keep the...
I don't think a lot of people know that.
The compliments coming.
Wow.
No, I appreciate that. But I feel it. I feel it sometimes. And I think, what are you doing? But God says, you know, age doesn't matter to me. It's your availability to my call. So yeah, started Arabella's Hope. I've always had a passion to speak and write. So kind of writing a book right now. That's going kind of slow, kind of trying to set up the business for, you know, I got to have some income.
But you started the process of writing a book?
Started the process.
Okay, that's awesome.
definitely have the vision of it. So going to kind of keep that in wraps right now. Probably, you know, bring that out as I'm more prepared. But definitely doing the speaking. And one of the things that was exciting is I became a John Maxwell coach, mm-hmm. who is a just a leadership guru. He's a man of faith, but left very similarly from what I understand, left ministry as a full-time pastor to go basically into the corporate world and teach values and skills of how to add value to people is really his heart. And it kind of happened in a weird way that I even ended up in Florida at this conference and became one of his coaches. But while I was there, God just really revealed to me that that's the call he has on me, is to step out. A friend always says, we came out from behind the pulpit to work the front lines, you know, in God's army.
So. I love that. I love that.
So I think I'm just, I put myself out there and I'm talking to companies and businesses and always have had a heart to help consult. And I, that's what I did, you know, I think when I first came to Thrive was I wanted to see Pastor Eric's dreams be fulfilled for Thrive. And so that's kind of the lane I came in is just how do we do this? And I've been doing that with some churches. So consulting at churches, businesses. I'm just having fun watching people succeed. And if I can hold their hand or help give them a boost or point them in a right direction that their dreams get realized, that's my heart.
That's awesome.
So that's where I'm headed.
So that's where you're at right now.
That's where I'm at right now. So I've been doing like personal counseling, you know, meeting with different churches. I've had the opportunity to meet with three or four different pastors, have meetings, meeting with their team leaders and just kind of helping guide them some next steps to grow their congregation. So that's fun. I absolutely love, if anybody who knows me knows I absolutely love to talk shop, and I called shop church.
Right.
And now that I'm kind of out of that lane, I feel a little like, how do I do this? And, but God has afforded me so many opportunities since I left for some really deep conversations, some really amazing things that I just think he was waiting for me to hear him and do the right thing. So
are you doing any one-on-one counseling?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually am.
So if people, still, cause I know you used to do that at Thrive. I know a lot of people used to reach out to you then. You know, if somebody's interested in doing that now with you, do they reach you through the website?
They can go to my website. My phone number's on there. There's a contact me about, and then they can click for personal counseling, personal coaching. If it's an organization or a business, it's all on the website on the contact me.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, and that's arabellashope.com.
What would you give us a discount if me and Curtis go in there together?
If I have to counsel you two together, it's probably going to be hours of work. I mean, we're talking some long-term stuff here.
Yeah, seriously. Hey, again, like I said earlier, she's helping me and my wife out right now with counseling. And it's honestly, two sessions already changed a lot, man. Honestly, big stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's good. Certified John Maxwell coach, right?
I'm a John Maxwell coach, yes. I'm certified to teach all his stuff, but I'm also a certified Christian counselor.
There you go.
I have my certification for that as well. An ordained pastor. Trying to think of what my certifications are. Jesus. I walk with Jesus. Okay. Talk with Jesus. That's really my certification.
I love that.
Because his wisdom is beyond anything I could do. Yeah. You know, when you say it's helping you, I think back and think, what do we talk about? Because I just always ask God to erase what I don't need to remember.
Yeah.
I'm a law enforcement chaplain. And so God is just getting... he's just giving me opportunity to care for people.
Yeah.
And that's been my heart my whole life. So how do you take care of people?
I think it's awesome because I feel like we know God is present. We know Jesus is present, but you make sure you bring him in the room. Any other counselor, any other therapist is going to talk, let you talk and, you know, just tell you whatever they learned in college, but you find a way to bring Jesus into the conversation versus whatever that may be. And that's a game changer. Because he's the one that can fix everything.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
So that's a great
He's a great physician, a great healer. And he says if we lack wisdom, to ask him, and he gives it to all. And so I feel like there's many times I lack wisdom when people come in the room. I mean, I've sat with families that have just great, great hurt. And I'm like, I have no idea what to do other than go to the Lord. And he gives me the words to say for them. And every time I meet with someone in counseling when I'm done... I pretty much always pray that God would erase from their mind anything that came out of my heart that wasn't from him. Because I know I'm human and I know I may say something and I have triggers and I have hurts of my past and I don't want to counsel out of my pain. I want to counsel for them what God wants. So I always say, Lord, erase what came from my heart that isn't for them and just burn in their spirit what you know will work. And so I'm always praying that for people.
Mm. Have you counseled anybody big name that we might know? Just saying.
Wow. I just, no, I'm joking. We canceled Curtis. Aren't you guys big?
That's kind of a big deal, man.
Oh, God. Jay-Z
and Beyonce. I mean,
I can neither confirm or deny.
There you go. Nah, that's cool. So let's back up a little bit though, because I know you're a pastor. How long have you been pastoring?
Well, I became a pastor my first time. You know, I used the word pastor, and I'll be honest with you, I never called myself pastor before. So I've been doing actual ministry since I was about 24.
Okay,
I was at a church where I was their creative arts director. And so we did musicals. It was a big church over here in Manteca. Big shout out to Calvary. Mm. I'm going to do a shout out to them because they got a new pastor right now. So if you're looking to check out a church, that's a great church.
What's
as
the pastor's
well.
Name?
His name is Pastor Marion.
Okay. Shout out.
Sure. So it's, you know, they went through a little rough patch with some change of leadership, but now there's a guy there. I heard he's got a great heart. And so I'm excited to go hear him myself. But I was there and I was at that church for 28 years. It's where I accepted the Lord. And I didn't even know I had the gifts of creativity. I just knew I enjoyed that kind of stuff. And so that was way back in the day when dramas were kind of new and musicals. And so we just started doing really big musicals for Christmas. Thousands of people would come and it was the event. Like a lot of people talk about it still, that that's what their family did at Christmas was went to these musicals. And so then I started writing a little bit and adding some music and, did that for years and years and knew I felt called into ministry, but that was a very creative lane. Through some change of leadership, they actually brought me on staff full time. So I worked there and I was over the college group and over creativity. So anything Sunday morning, anything, the music, order of service, those kind of things, I worked with very closely with the worship pastor. So then that situation kind of ended in a very abrupt firing, which I firmly believe was my fault in the sense that I know God told me to leave for about a year and I was too afraid. I loved it there. It was always my dream to get hired there. And once I got fired, kind of fell apart emotionally, realizing that I put my value in what I did rather than whose I was.
Okay.
And so once you take that away, you feel like you have nothing. And so God took me on a real amazing journey the next year of healing. Through that time, I kept getting a phone call from this pastor and people kept telling me he was planting a church in Lathrop. And I'm like, I'm not doing ministry again. That hurt. That was painful. I'm done. And a few calls. And my family's like, you really need to go meet with him. And so I did. And so prayed and I went away for the weekend and prayed. And I actually stood on the ocean. And through all the hurts and all the pain that had happened with the firing, I actually wrote, you know, personal names on the sand and the name of the church and what I did at the church. I would just write on the sand these big words. And then I asked the Lord as the waves came and wiped them away that I wanted to start clean and not hold things against anyone. And so I did. And the Lord said, now go do the plant with this pastor. And so I was there, but it just wasn't the best fit. Great man of God. Love the Lord, but different kind of styles of leadership, different vision. So his organization brought me on and did some certifications for me to become Pastor Arabella. So I was Pastor Arabella there, but then after a couple of years, I just knew that it just wasn't a good fit for my heart, for my family. And through that church, though, I had done a project. I was driving down Lathrop, and I saw Lathrop Elementary and thought, man, that place is beat up. But I live over by another school here in Manteca, and they're putting a new roof on this school. And I'm like, that school's not that old. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And so I was looked into it, and I thought, you know what? So I went and walked into the principal, and I said, hey, I would love to help you rebuild this school. So I gave him a piece of paper and said, ask all your teachers if they had three wishes for their school, what it would be. And then I talked to my pastor, and we raised $7,000 through the community and my daughters. We went out and canvassed, and then over Labor Day weekend, way back to, I think it was, gosh, I can't even tell you what year. Whatever year it was, we redid that school. But only, I sent a letter to a bunch of pastors in the community and said, hey, let's help Lathrop Elementary. And one pastor reached out to me. Can you guess who it was?
I'm going to have to guess Pastor Eric.
Yeah, Pastor Eric Baca. They were actually renting the gym at that school at the time. So he called me. He was the only pastor to reach out to me. And so we met, and it was the first time I met him. I remember walking in the room thinking, this dude is serious. Like, dude, I'm not. What you got that look on your face for? And he was just very intentional about wanting to help. And they had an event going on Labor Day, and the only day they could come was Monday, which was great because I'm literally at a church of 40 people. And so I said, hey, we could use all the resources. And I remember the thing that spoke to me that day was every pastor showed up on his staff.
Wow.
And a couple people came up to me later and said, you need to be at our church. You know, we're going to start praying. And I just laughed. And Pastor Eric never said anything to me about his church. I just kept helping him. We did leadership stuff. I covered for his worship leader. And then I went over to Crossroads and rested. My daughters were seniors in high school. And I thought, they're going to go off to college. You know, they don't need to be killing themselves at a church plant. They need to get grounded in their faith.
Yeah.
And so they started doing music at Crossroads. And then they went off to college. And through that process, Pastor Eric and I met all the time to talk shop. And then he offered me a job. So, wow.
What year was that?
The year he offered me a job was 11 years ago, because in August. So my anniversary was the same week I quit. So it was literally that 11th year.
Wow.
So through there, to answer the final question, it was an Assembly of God church. So I started taking Assembly of God classes to become certified, then licensed, then ordained.
Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is. I didn't know that.
Probably a really long answer to a simple question.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting to spend that much time on it.
It's going to be a three-part show, man.
No, that's really, really cool, though.
I've been told I talk too much before.
No, really?
Not at all.
The pastors we've had in here have that problem.
Yeah, right?
Oh, thanks for saying that.
It's those classes, those AG classes. Those
AG classes, man.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Yeah. So let me back up a little bit because I caught something. When we first started talking about it, you said that right now when you quit where you're at or where you were working, you had a lot of things that you were kind of just putting on the back burner for a long time. And then you said earlier that you were at another church that you also felt for about a year there was a different call and you kind of kept there and then eventually you got fired.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you put the stuff in the back burner? Like at what point do you go, man, this is, I need to start listening to more of what I'm feeling.
Good question. Probably insecurity.
Mm.
Probably fear, you know, which I think a lot of people deal with fear in life. But the call I feel God has in my life is very, it's me. It's He's asking me to do something. I'm all good when the church says, let's do this event. I'm like, I'm all in it. I can visualize, I can promote it, I can get fired up. Throw me into the mix, me on stage. It's a little hard.
And that was my question because I've noticed, you know, the time that I've known you, especially like at Thrive and hearing stories from you in the past, and I've heard other stories and some that you said, you know, I've heard them. You're a very go-getter. When I hear somebody says like, oh, we're going to do something, you're like, all right, look, this is what you can do. And you've done it with us. I mean, even when we talk about this podcast, when the whole idea was even coming up, your first thing you were like, well, you make sure you're on social media. Make sure you get a Facebook. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. But when it comes to you, you're like, well, I don't know. But yeah, you got the answers for everybody else. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sucks because I think you have a lot to offer.
Thanks.
I think you can go very far. And I think God is using you in a very special way. But you're standing in your own way. And it kind of sucks to see it.
I've always felt like I'm in my own way. And I know God's giving me gifts and I'm comfortable saying that now. I think for a long time I wasn't comfortable saying I feel like I'm a good speaker. I think my intentionality is to touch the heart of people.
Mm.
So I think erasing my ability, I don't think I'm a great speaker by what I do. I think I have the ability for people to see my heart. And I just think my heart can go farther than my words could ever, or my ability, you know, my stage presence, how I look. You know, I mean, just these things that the world puts on that I need to present myself and I need to look like this.
No, but I think a lot of that is what makes us special, because I think what we see on TV and reality are two different things.
Right.
And I think that's the perspective that we get, what we see on TV or the high social medias. But the reality is this is who we are and people connect with us, because I went to go see you speak, me and my wife Letty, we went to go see you speak in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen you speak that way, even at Thrive.
Hmm.
And I don't know what was different. I don't know if it was just because it was outside of Thrive or, but that even made me tear up. And I was like, you ain't never made me tear up in sermons. Mm. I felt them good where I'm like, oh, that's hard. But that one was special. It could have been because your daughters were also in the mm-hmm. house and things, but that was crazy. I love
I think that. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I honestly believe, and I want to say this so that it doesn't sound bad, but I think leaving Thrive was the best decision I ever made, not because the place is bad. I send people there. I think the place is beautiful. It served me well, and I hope I served it well. It was beautiful. But God has told me, and, you know, just like what we were talking about, putting things on the back burner, God has told me for my whole Christian walk, I have something I need you to do. Mm. And part of it has been for speaking, and part of it is writing, and for a long time it was singing. But I have the ability through Jesus Christ to connect with people in a way that people just don't. Like the eye-to-eye conversation, the one-on-ones. So I was like, I'm good with that, but the stage part I really love. I do enjoy it, but I felt like it was vanity. So I would always say, I can't promote myself. Hey, I'm going to come speak. You know, I'm getting better at it, and I'm getting better. Like I'm learning the millennial way
right.
of promotion, if that makes sense. But so leaving Thrive, because I carried the heaviness of not listening to God for so long, I think there was an intimidation or an apprehension in my walk through that process. And then the day I resigned, and Pastor Eric knows this, and I shared it with the congregation, the day I said the words to him, I'm supposed to quit, and that's exactly how it came out, through many tears, there was a weight that was lifted off of me that was so great, I did not realize. I was barely able to breathe. So moving on, it wasn't leaving the people. That ripped me. It still rips me. I miss everyone so deeply.
Right.
But there was a freedom in being obedient. So I think maybe that was the first time I preached since I left, that there was an excitement maybe in my heart that I'm doing what God really called me to do. I knew I was doing God's calling at the church, but I also know my passion and love is speaking. So here I was getting an opportunity to do what I love and walking the way God told me to walk. So maybe I was just a little fired up.
Okay.
Plus, it's a great church, and I got to help them change their name, and so there was a connection as well. So,
because you were also responsible for the logo, right? For the
not responsible. Oh, no. I was. I worked with the pastor. He's actually super talented.
Oh, okay.
It's called The Avenue, and so I'm just a consultant. Basically, he hires me as a consultant to help guide and lead. And I usually just sit and talk with someone. They have the ideas. Mm. They have the ability. It's just sometimes you just need someone to talk to. And to formulate it and step out. And that's kind of just all I did with him.
Got it.
He's awesome.
She's here to help, man. She's here to serve. And I think that that's partially why she hasn't done all the things that she should be doing. Because she's doing what God created her to do, which is help build everyone else up. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. She takes joy in that. I take joy in that. It's a great position to be in because everyone's going to look back and go, she's the reason. She's a part of the reason. She was a part of the formula, part of the puzzle. You know what I mean? And that's an honor. That's a high honor than just being up on your own pedestal going, look at me, you know, and hoping everybody appreciates you. Right. So I think that's a beautiful thing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, that's my question is because I think we're all called to do something. And it's a question that I've been asking myself is, what is my calling? Like now, because I'm 40 and I figure, okay, you know, I'm in the second half of my life, I guess, the way I see it, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm going through.
You got about 10 more years, bro.
Right? So if I'm lucky, I got about 10 more years.
Go ahead.
Gosh, no. I thought you were 52.
Jesus Christ. Don't let me tell you how old I thought you really were.
You already did.
Oh, man. No. But the reason I'm saying that is because I've been thinking about it. I'm like, okay, what is my calling? I believe we all have a calling from Jesus, and we all need to be following that. And when you try to determine what is it, do I help others the way you're doing, or do you help yourself? And mm-hmm. I don't think it's selfish to help yourself, but is it healthy to not help yourself? You know what I'm saying? And yeah. that's been more where I've been thinking about the last mm-hmm. couple of weeks. And when I was talking to you, I'm like, oh, that's a great question because, like Curtis said, you're helping others. That's amazing. But if God also has things for you to do, you also can't neglect that.
No, it's a balance, right?
Yeah, and you also can't. You have to be willing to grow. Like, you have to help yourself. There's a difference between self-seeking, like wanting notoriety or you know, gain, personal gain, than I want to be a better person.
Right.
And so when we're doing our calling, we're becoming the person God intended us to be. We're gonna get better. Mm-hmm. And so when you step out, which is what I'm doing right now, it's all about personal growth. It's all about, I'm never going to be able to lead someone well if I'm not okay. You know, the healings in my heart that have took place in my life and the triggers that hit, it's how I respond to them. It's how I react to them. How am I going to guide and lead somebody if I haven't travailed through it and worked through it and figured things out for myself? Mm-hmm. So I think personal growth, I think helping yourself, if that's the way you put it, is number one. But it's not because you're trying to be selfish. There's a difference between selfish and taking care of you. And I say that a lot to people lately, in counseling or just with phone calls. You have to take care of you. For me to be an amazing mom, I got to take care of me.
Yeah, you can't help others if you're not good.
I can't give what I don't have.
Ah, that's a good one right
there. And so, you know, if I'm not spending time with the Lord and I'm not in the Word and I'm not growing and becoming a better person, who's going to want that to help them? You know, if I'm stuck in the same place for 20 years, you know, people aren't going to be coming to me for counseling for sure. Now, I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I arrived anywhere, but I know I'm better. Mm. I know I'm getting better. I know I'm healthier. Making life decisions are rough. And sometimes you have to make life decisions that people don't understand. But if you work it out with the Lord and God guides you, and He says in His Word that His light is a lamp to our feet. And so if you're in the Word, God's going to say, here, go here, step here, do this, say that. And that's kind of how I try to live my life, right? You know, day to day. And, you know, my poor husband, he barely can catch up half the time, but he knows that there's just no way I won't go do what God asked me to do every day, you know. And some days it's take care of him. Those are rare in his book.
Poor Lenny.
But you know what I mean? I'm that's like one area that I try to work on better because he needs me as much as everybody else does.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, working on being a better wife for him, but he gets it. He gets it. He always says, he's a great encourager when he's not irritated with me, that everything I do has an eternal value, not a monetary value, because I've spent a lot of my life doing ministry, not paid well, not that anybody did anything wrong. It just, I've always had to have another job. Mm. And so now just, you know, trying to figure out, I don't want to put all the burden on him,
right?
But I know when he's feeling stressed, he says a positive sentence, which is, you're working for eternity, babe. And then what he's really saying is, honey, we're broke and you need to figure something out.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway. So being a pastor, being a female pastor, is it me or is there like a shortage? Like, I just feel like there's not that many female pastors. Am I correct on that? Or am I the only one that sees that? Or?
I mean, yeah.
There is I would say a shortage in the sense of there's not a lot of people that believe that being a pastor as a female is biblical.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, there's a, you know, the I think I believe it's in Timothy. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they talk about
First Timothy, you're right.
A man of one wife. And a lot of people just go straight to that. And they also go to the scripture that talks about women should be silent in church, which, you know, you have to always take the verse, the book, the context, the time, and see who it was actually written to, and then dissect it for our learning. And the whole scripture that talks about women should be silent in church, they were having an issue with women being gossipy and causing conflict. Mm. And what the reason that was brought up was like, hey, we need you guys to stop. We need you to be quiet because you're causing conflict. That's where that came from. It wasn't, you know, women shouldn't speak. I mean, and I love that, you know, they read that scripture, but then don't move on to the part about not wearing earrings and, you know, don't, you know, being flashy and whatever. And I'm like, everybody seems to be okay with that.
Right.
So, you know, I never use the word pastor. When I talked about myself, I always called myself just a helper of people or a shepherd or a servant of Christ. But something comes with that, that is kind of heavy. Those six letters, pastor, create a place in my life that I believe I'm very accountable to God for what I say to people. Because I consider myself anointed by God and called by God to be a shepherd of people. So whether it's pastor, director, leader, it doesn't matter. The truth is God said, I want you to lead people and speak for me to people. That's heavy. That comes with great seriousness and concern. So I don't carry that title lightly. I don't need to be a pastor. I love being a pastor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely.
No, yeah, because it's just something I've noticed in the past. Mm-hmm. Because what's that? She's a female, wears glasses. She's getting really popular on YouTube right now.
She's a female, wears glasses.
No, older white lady.
Christine Kane?
I think that's it. Is that
like she from Hillsong in Australia?
Yes.
Yeah. Christine Kane.
It just seems like I see her everywhere now.
Yeah, she's a great speaker.
Yeah, she's really great. I've seen a few of her sermons. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, social media has changed a lot for anyone who wants to do something. I mean, anybody can share God's word. Now, there's people out there sharing stuff that's absolutely unbiblical. And so God tells us to be wise, you know, gentle as doves and wise as serpents, gentle as doves, something to that degree. And so, you know, I listen to stuff. I try to guard what I listen to. First of all, I don't want to mimic anyone. I don't want to be Stephen Furtick.
Right.
When I had my knee surgery, I listened to him a lot because there's not a lot of live online churches that are live. And so on Sunday morning, I wanted the feeling of something live. And so I listened to him a lot because of that. And I love him. I think he's great. But I don't want to preach like him. I don't want to be Stephen Furtick. You know, but you know what I'm saying.
No,
I hear you. Social media is just a great place to start promoting and hearing. So yeah, Christine Kane is all over.
Yeah, like I've seen like a couple books. My wife Letty actually listens to her sermons, and it's like, and once I heard it from her, it just seemed like I seen it everywhere. I think I went to Walmart. There were like six books. I'm like, wow, she's everywhere now.
She's exploded.
And God can use whoever He wants. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Spread the word. And that's what we need to know.
Yeah, your wife was one of them, Anna DeVoe. If you guys know who she is, a friend of mine, Brenda, just different people have whispered in my ear for a long time. Curtis, you're one. Pastor, you need to be on stage. How do we get more stage time with you? You need to have the mic. You so I say that. How do we get you the mic?
Pastor the mic, man.
It was so funny. But the other day, it was the craziest thing. I was driving in my car and it was really right before I quit. And I got a vision. I was pulling into the old church. It was the old Calvary building, which is CWC. I was actually pulling in to talk to someone over there. And all of a sudden, I remembered being 18 years old, and I had just accepted the Lord. It was probably 6 months later. And they had a revival. You know, this old Baptist. It was a Baptist church. Oh, they had a revival going on, and they had an open mic. So this mic was there on the floor, and everybody could go up and give testimony of what God was doing. And I remember sitting there, and I remember directly God telling me, I want you to go up there and talk about the marginalized, those that aren't cared for. You know, almost like the kids you bully in school.
Yeah.
Go up there and talk about them. And I'm like, what? I mean, I'm sitting in their chair, and I remember the sentence, I want you to speak for me. And then he meant in the moment. And to tell you the honest truth, I have no idea if I ever went up to that mic or not. I don't remember. But God just reminded me. I'd forgotten completely about it. He reminded me, I asked you to speak for me. And I just realized that's what he wants me to do, is be his voice for people. And that could be one-on-one or in a large venue. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is that I'm doing and saying what he wants. Yeah, I just got to figure this out.
We're hoping this is going to encourage you to start your own podcast.
There you go.
Well, actually I am. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
On my website, it says the new podcast is coming. And so the goal was to start it out. We were going to start out with my family. We're going to try to get all together in November and just wrap the family, just, you know, our family together. It's hilarious. But just to introduce myself kind of through my kids and family's eyes.
Yeah.
And
a son and two twins.
I have an older son that he was a bonus child that came with my husband, Nicholas. Okay. And we don't get to see a lot of him, but I love him to pieces. But the family that, you know, that came for me was my son, Jacob. He's 32. And then the twins, Courtney and Rebecca, who are 27s, I think, something like that. But life took its toll. We had a lot going on in our family, in their lives as well, which, you know, moms always carry that. So Rebecca, we just dropped off at the airport Thursday night. She's in Spain. Barcelona, Spain. So shout out to her doing God's call. She actually got an internship with Hillsong in Barcelona, but they denied her visa. Mm. But she said, God told me to go. And how am I going to do this? So we prayed and everything. And so we're like, okay, just go. Just go and see what happens. So she went anyway.
Without a visa?
Without a visa.
Man, that's like my uncle last week.
She actually can be there legally for 90 days. She'll figure it out. Not my uncle. Yeah. Not your uncle. Yeah. So she went under a different name. No, she's there. And we thought about her going as Rebecca Whitlock and then having Courtney email her her passport.
There you go.
Because she looks exactly the same. And then having another 30 days as, or 90 days as Courtney.
Why not?
But no. But yeah. We are not going to do that. So, but you know, she was just fervent about what God wanted from her. And, you know, then as a mom, you get a little nervous because, you know, she went by herself. But, yeah. You know, if God's involved, then he's going to do it. And the Lord provided through means of different people, the finances and stuff. And so she has a website. I'll give a shout out to Amor y Cielo. So it's Amor y Cielo with a Y, .com. And she's made handmade jewelry and it's beautiful. And people are buying it. So that's how she's kind of funding her life over
there.
Very
nice.
Awesome.
So what's all this? Hold on 1 second. I got to ask because okay. I know people are probably listening going like, she keeps saying God told her, God said this, God said that. I mean, how do you know? It sounds kind of kooky. Like, how do you know it's not you saying that I want to go to Spain versus God saying you better go to Spain? How do you know? Like, what's the difference?
That's a really great question. So I think we hear three voices in our life. I think we hear Satan, or, you know, that dominion of darkness speaks, God speaks, and we speak. And I think wisdom and trying to figure it out takes time in prayer. Like, God tells us he's going to give us desires and wants. And scripture says that if we delight in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. Right. So I think spending time with the Lord, you can kind of figure out when you're hearing God because there's an impression upon you. I don't hear an audible voice. Like, he doesn't say, you know, I don't wake up in the morning with this booming voice, Arabella, I want you to, you know, I just feel impressed to move. Like, you feel something and my heart will start to pound when I hear God. Like, I'll feel a little bit of my heart pounding a little bit, especially if it's like, I need you to act right now on something. Prayer and peace are huge, you know, when you're trying to make decisions in life. So I think we want things. And I always ask the Lord, is this me? Is this me? I mean, I literally say that. Is this me? Do I just want to be a speaker? Or do you want me to be, you know, like, I've had those conversations. And then a door will open or I'll get a call. And I have to believe that that's God. I mean, yeah, okay. People could shake their head like, nah, but I'm not knocking down doors. I'm not calling people up and saying, hey, you know, I have people I say, hey, let me know if you need me, of course. You have not because you ask not, but, you know, just God opens doors. There's no reason. Some of the things I've done, I know for a fact it was God because there's just no connection for someone to call me or randomly ask me something, you know? So yeah, I just think it's prayer and being in the presence of the Lord to know, is this God's voice or not?
Right.
And I think we need to ask that question. Is this God's voice or not? A lot.
I think a lot of people who aren't spiritual, who might be listening to this, might say, okay, well, that's just a random coincidence, or that's just good or bad luck. They'll call it, you know, whatever they want to call it. But I think that when it comes from God and his stamps on it, it's going to work. Because he's not going to set you up for failure. And that's a great hope that we all can have.
Absolutely.
You know, knowing that someone has our back like that, you know, on that level.
And I know that God gives us gifts, and a few years back, I'm going to say it was about 7 years ago, I felt like God was working a gift in me. I guess the terminology would be word of knowledge, or some people say I have a prophetic gift, like I'll see things or I'll know something. And I would like, is that me? Like, you know, women's intuition. Okay, I can read between the lines. I can really sense where you're coming from. Is that me? You know, but I really think it was a God-given gift. And so when my husband and I had gone to Disneyland with some friends, and we actually had no tickets to go into the park, we just sent our kids because life was hard. But we were fine. We just hung out at the hotel. So we decided we were going to go eat, and we were walking, and there was a young man sitting at a table, and he had a bunch of menus sitting out. And he was just telling people, like, what menus were in this little, like, outdoor mall. And I remember walking up to the table. We're chit-chatting with him, looking at the menus. And we start to walk away, and I just look at my husband. He goes, what's wrong? I go, oh my gosh, my heart was pounding. I said, I feel like I need to tell this kid something. And my, you know, my husband's eyes always like, okay, well, you know, what do you got to tell him? And I walked over, I go, I'm sorry, you don't really know me, obviously. But I feel like God wants me to tell you that you have been really struggling with your desire to be married. And that for whatever reason, all the things you've done in your past, you believe that God is punishing you and that you'll never marry. a godly woman. But God wanted me to tell you, you will, and you need to release the sins of your past. He's not holding that against you. He has someone for you. You just need to be patient.
Wow.
And I walked off, and I get very teary-eyed, and my voice shakes, and then I walk away thinking, I'm losing my mind. And I said, you know, have a good day, you know, walked off, and he's staring at me, and off we go. Well, we went down the mall, and we kind of turned around, and we're heading back up to go to the restaurant, and there's that kid that was at that table, and he stopped me and said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he said, there's just no way you could know. He goes, I treated women like dirt. You know, I didn't remain pure. You know, I fooled around with girls, and I was a jerk. And I gave my life back to God about 3 months ago. And I thought, there's just no way. How can he give me a beautiful woman after the way I've treated them?
Wow.
And he said he's been very burdened about it. Mm. And so at that time is when I knew. I just felt like God had confirmed, you will be my voice in moments when I need you. That's pretty cool. It's a day-by-day thing. So that's when I hear God.
I was telling Curtis a few episodes ago, and then Pastor Curtis is actually holding a group. You know, they do small groups at Thrive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he actually has a small group that's about prayer.
Oh, cool. And it's about methods. And he loves prayer.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's really good at breaking down different methods. Not the way to pray, but methods of praying.
Listening prayers and things like that. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
And I was telling Curtis that, to me, I had the same question of, how do I know if God's speaking to me? Mm-hmm. Is it me? And so I've been practicing now this every morning, for the most part, of spending about 15 minutes in complete silence, trying to listen to God.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it. Yeah.
So now that I'm doing that, it's weird, but, and I had a conversation with Pastor Chris about it, and I'll ask you the same, because I also feel like a lot of my creativity is happening in those 15 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Sometimes I try to shut it down, because I'm like, no, I can't be thinking about the podcast right now. I'm trying to listen from God.
Right.
But then I go, well, is that God telling me to promote it this way or go that way? So when you were saying earlier about how you want to promote yourself, but yet you don't want to sound like it's all about you.
Of course.
I struggle with that when I got to promote it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to come just because we want them to listen to us. Mm-hmm. It's because we have a message we're trying to put out, whether it be through you or Chris or Bishop. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with that, because I start promoting, and it sucks, because when I do promote, our listens go up, obviously.
Of course.
But then I'm like, man, I don't want people looking at us like, oh, you guys it's all about you. Mm-hmm. Here you go again. So then I don't promote, listens go down, back and forth. But I am slowly coming around to a point where I feel like I'm starting to hear God. Mm-hmm. And Curtis asked me, how do you hear it? I'm like, it's weird, but it almost sounds like my heart speaking to my head. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I can relate it.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, I think it goes back to that scripture, delight in the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of our heart. God placed those things in us to love, to do. Like, I love speaking. I spoke Thursday at a mom-to-mom group about one of my favorite Bible characters, which is Paul. Absolutely love. They were doing, their whole year is about Bible characters, which I think is amazing, and what we can draw from them. But, I absolutely love speaking, and I get so much joy out of it. And I've been feeling that for 20 years as I've prayed and asked the Lord, take desires away from me that are not from you. Mm. You know, I pray that all the time. I don't want to, because I can get excited about anything. You know, I'm the shiny penny girl. Like, if you tell me something in the room, I'm 100% in, and next thing you know, I'm not doing what I.
Right.
So I'm really trying hard to prioritize. But, you know, just getting back to what you said, the listening, I think listening is key. I think we get in prayer. You know, I always joke about it. It's like when someone calls you on the phone. Have you heard someone call you? They ramble and go, okay, I gotta go, bye. And you're like, I didn't say anything.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I called you.
right.
So I think, you know, the Lord probably feels that way on a daily basis. Like, I have something to say to you, and you pour out your heart to him, which is his desire for you. You know, get it all out. You know, basically, he knows our heart anyway. So just be upfront with him. Get it all out, and then take a moment to hear what he has to say back. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, he doesn't want us walking around in shame, so he wants to remove that, and then he wants to encourage us and empower us to do mighty works. And so, you know, I kind of feel the same way. I'm going to encourage you and hear myself say this. You are God's mouthpiece with this podcast. I know that desire of your guys' heart, I know you guys. And for those people that don't know them personally, I will tell you flat out, this is not about them at all. You guys have blessed me in my life. I've seen your heart. I see your desire to learn and grow. And this whole thing is, you want to, the reason you named it Rough and Real, and for me as your friend and as your pastor, was because you just want to come across real. Like, there's no game here. There's no fake. This is two men who are learning, and you know, some days they knock it out of the park, and some days they don't, just like me and you and everybody listening. But the deep desire you have is for people just to be real. But just the trueness of what you guys are doing is just, you love talking about Jesus and learning.
Right.
And, you know, the gathering together, you know, the Thrive groups at Thrive Church or any small groups at any church, you know, I would encourage anyone to quit sitting in rows and get in circles, because eye to eye is really where it's at. And hearing people talk about Christ and hearing people struggle, and that's all you guys are doing here, is just, there's days of struggle. I mean, these two men, they aren't perfect. But the desire, no, you're not. I'm here to tell you you're not.
I'm a little bit.
The Lord told me this morning to make sure you knew you weren't.
Oh, wow. Been talking to my wife, I guess.
Actually, yes. But the truth is I don't think the world wants perfectionism. Jesus was perfect. He was 100% God, 100% man. We're not. But our desire is to walk with the Lord who loves us and cares for us, and to share that love and that peace and that hope with others. That's the bottom line. I mean, the truth is there's a climate out there and that's rough, and there's so much tension in the world right now. It breaks my heart. Like, this is really where I land on a pretty regular basis, is to know the things people go through. There's illnesses that aren't being cured. There's political tension that's ridiculous. There's fear in future. You know, if I was to not have Christ, I would be concerned about my tomorrow. And I'm not. Even as broke as we may be, because I quit my job, and even with, if everything falls apart, I still have hope in Christ. And God says he'll provide for my needs according to his glorious riches. You know, he owns 1,000 cattle on a hilltop. He's not going to leave me stranded, and people probably think that that's ridiculous. But I can assure you, testimony after testimony, when we had nothing and groceries would show up on our doorstep or money would show up in a card. As a matter of fact, someone gave me a card that really was the catapult of me quitting my job, walking away from my paid position, because God kept saying, quit, 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 Thrive. Someone brought over a card, didn't even know that I was planning on quitting or knew that God was talking to me, handed me this card. When they handed me the card, they literally said, Pastor, it's time you go do what God's called you to do, because people are waiting for you. And I had had that said to me over and over and over. So it was a confirmation of a sentence. Gave me a card. I thought I was going to read a very encouraging card. I opened up. There's money in it. $500 to be exact. And the Lord said to me, I can provide for you any way I want. It isn't about the job. It's about what you do. And so my heart's desire is to step out and help calm fear in people's lives, calm this political tension. And that's actually, I'm going to bring it up right now. That's actually why I started Live to Lead, or I didn't start it, why I brought it to Manteca.
Right.
Because it's a leadership thing. It isn't a church event. It isn't a Jesus thing. It's leadership tools. It's adding value to people. And we have a lot of people in leadership in our community. I work with the police department. You know, I work at the school district. I see what's going on. You know, I'm not foolish, and there's tension, and even this little tiny community of Manteca is divided in its leadership, and that is not a way to call, you know, we call ourselves the Family City of Manteca. I know Lathrop, you know, you guys have a great leadership here in Lathrop, but there's tension of everybody's being pulled to go one direction or the other, and it just causes fear and pain and division. So how do I bring a community together? How do I bring Lathrop and Manteca together? How do I bring Ripon and people and policemen together with, you know, people that walk the street? You know, how do you do that? And I feel like God says, well, we're going to try and do that. And that's what Live to Lead's all about, is just bringing people together and learning how to add value to the people you're with.
So Live to Lead, that's an event you're putting on to, and it's going to be at Crossroads?
Yeah.
At Crossroads.
Yeah, they partnered with me to host it. So appreciative.
When is that?
It's November 16th, so it's from 8 in the morning till 1 p.m. It's a half-day leadership conference. It's going to be amazing for anybody who leads anything, whether you're a small group leader at your church, a pastor, a corporate salesman, whether you own a business, an entrepreneur, a dad, a mom, a teacher. It doesn't matter. You're going to learn leadership skills and how to add value to people. And it's really a personal growth opportunity, like I was telling you. It's a really – a day to pour into yourself. It's $65 for the day. It's a simulcast, which means, or it's actually a rebroadcast. So a simulcast is an event that's happening live somewhere and you're bringing it in, but we didn't want to deal with the technical issues of that. So the event actually happened live in Atlanta, Georgia on October 11th. And over 350 cities have been licensed to rebroadcast it, or people have. And because I'm a John Maxwell coach, I was given the right to it. So I'm bringing it to Manteca. I looked in California. There's only like maybe 12 places doing it in the entire state of California. And so it's a great opportunity. It was, it's being done. It was done in Kenya and in the Philippines, and it's happening everywhere because it's just such great content. So I stepped down on faith financially and believing that adding value to people is really empowering, not for your, just for them, but for you. So that's what I'm doing. So it's going to be great. And that information is on my podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, on my podcast, on my website.
On your website.
Speaking in faith, that's going to happen one day.
It's happening.
It's coming.
So how much are the tickets?
65.
Okay. 65. And they can buy them directly at your website?
Yep. They can buy my website, or you can Venmo me at Arabella's Hope.
Okay.
Arabella's _ Hope on Venmo. I encourage anybody who has a team to bring the team. It's going to be a great day. And, you know, there'll be, it's not like we're not serving lunch, but we'll have food there. And if you buy your ticket before you come to the door, because at the door it's $75, but if you buy your ticket ahead of time, you'll be put into a drawing for a $250 gift basket, which will have some Maxwell books in it. I think there's like a $100 Visa gift card in there, an opportunity to take a course for free. It's just, I'm excited.
How many people are you expecting?
You know, that's a really good question. When you're at a church, you can kind of gauge because you know the people, and I'm kind of out here on an island right now. I would love to see 150 people in the room, so I'll be content with 100. My daughter's prayed and said it's going to be over 200. She goes, I'm going to keep praying for over 200. Coming from just the business standpoint, I just want to break even financially.
Yeah.
Because I can't keep putting us in the hole. But, you know, I just trust God that, yeah, like I said, my desire is to add value to people and help people succeed in life. And so this is a great opportunity to do that. So it landed in my lap. I think it was God ordained that I even heard about it. And because I'm a John Maxwell coach, I was able to buy the license for it. So awesome. We'll see what happens. So can't wait to see you there, Renee.
Oh, man.
Are you buying the ticket right now as we're talking, or are you just waiting a little later?
I'm just waiting for all the listeners to go ahead and start donating so that Renee and Curtis can go and check out
actually,
the show.
Oh, wow. Just so you know, actually, I believe that Curtis has already bought his ticket.
I bought two tickets, actually, sir.
Him and Rainer are going.
I support the pastor.
Oh, so we going?
I'm pretty sure he bought one for his wife.
I'm bringing my boss.
I don't know. A little kissy-kissy, you might get a ticket, too.
we can make something work. We can make an arrangement.
I think that's really cool that, because, I mean, it starts from the top, you know. Leadership starts from the top. So if you can instill values, true values, into our leaders, it's going to trickle down.
Yeah.
It has to. It can start from the bottom, but it should start at the top and trickle right down. So that's good that you're getting out there. It's good that John Maxwell steps outside of the four walls to jump into corporate, to jump into the world, to heal and fix things and help out. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that's beautiful. I mean, look at Paul. You know, he left and he roamed and he started churches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he did. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really happy for you.
He's a good man in the sense that he's a smart guy. I mean, he's really smart. I've really enjoyed listening to – he's humble. He's smart. And he attributes a lot to his father, which I think is so cool because his dad, I might get this wrong. So John Maxwell, if you're listening, sorry, but he was talking about his dad. His birthday's coming up. I believe it's in Live to Lead, but at a conference that I was at, but he had visited his dad a few days before. I heard him speak when I was at the training. But his dad, I'm going to say is 96. I could be wrong. It could be 92, but it could be 96. But he said to his son, you know, son, I think I still have my best years are ahead of me. That's what he said. I still think my best years are ahead of me. And I'm thinking, that's crazy. And that was so encouraging to me because I told you, you know, feeling like 56 is old and I shouldn't be doing this, starting a new career.
Right.
And then when I hear something like that, I'm just inspired because truly my goal is to serve God till my last breath. And so it really shouldn't matter the age. But yeah, John Maxwell is a great guy. At the, I was blown away. I tell this story a lot, but I was blown away because I went to a corporate training. I believe there was 3,100 or 3,200 people there getting trained. And on Saturday night, while he was talking, he just invited everybody to come the next morning to a, he called it a faith service. He said, I'm going to speak tomorrow. We're going to have faith service. It's not on the agenda because it's not part of the training, but, you know, it's Sunday morning. And he said, I'm going to share about the miracles of God. And I loved it because he said, someone told him once, I don't believe in miracles. And he said, oh, that's okay. One day you're going to need one. Yep, there you go. And he's just real chill. And the way he invited everybody was chill. And that next morning, I'm like, I'm going and I'm going to get, and it's early. It was 7 in the morning or 7:30, and that's early for me. But anyway, right. I got there and I wormed my way to the front, still at round tables and stuff, and watched him just preach a beautiful message about the miracles of God. He did the fishes and the loaves. And at the end, he talked about the true miracle of Jesus Christ and gave an altar call and just prayed for people. And I watched hundreds of people go forward. And I'm at a corporate training and I saw, I'm going to say 200-300 people accept the Lord from other countries. Because I talked to a woman literally directly after at lunch from Madagascar. Wow. And she was holding her new Bible. Mm-hmm. And she was emotional. And I thought to myself, this is who I want to be. I want to take every opportunity to lead people to Jesus. And so it was really cool.
That's amazing.
Shout out to him. He's a good man.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's yeah. Good. I was hoping you'd tell that story. That's a good one.
Maybe we get Mr. Maxwell to come on our show.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Hey, I'm gonna send this clip to him on Twitter. He's gonna respond. So We'll see what happens.
John Maxwell.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's a pretty cool guy.
Nah, that's good. That's good. What else you got, brother?
That's it, man. I'm just excited, man.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm happy you came by, brother. It took about a year and a half. No, we haven't been around that long. It took about a year, but it's good. I'm happy you came by, though.
Thanks. Thanks for the invitation. I'm super excited for all that's going to happen with your future as you guys continue to seek the Lord and become better men just because you're stepping out. So
thanks
for the opportunity.
So again, if anybody wants to reach you for church consulting or coaching, things like that, they can just go on your website, your social medias, catch you there.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Hope. Twitter, Instagram. It's all Arabella's Hope or, you know, just Arabella Whitlock.
So that's all your social medias. Anything else you want to shout out to anybody or?
No, just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to serve you.
That's awesome.
He's a blessing.
And I've talked to you before about if you start your podcast, we're always here to help.
Thank you.
You know, we don't know much, but we know a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Do I want to come do a podcast where there's a bird screeching in the background and
some random
lady screaming? That's the real part of the rough.
We keep it real.
Actually, rough and real stands for it's rough to do the podcast because there's some real stuff happening
going on around us.
That's true.
Hey, but you never know. God will bless us one day with a studio and we'll be
in. And I would say if you have a story, if anybody out there has a story of just a great moment in life, whether you did something for somebody or God did something for you, that's what my podcast is going to be about, is just the Cinderella stories in life. We're calling it Arabella's Stories. So I just want to hear stories and I want to hear people's life. And I'm excited to talk to people and just hear what God's done for them or what anyone's done for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really cool moment in time. So if you have a great story out there, hit me up and I'd love to talk to you about it.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
That's awesome. All right, Arabella, thank you for coming in the house. Curtis, anything you want to shoot us out with?
Well, you know, I always got random questions, but I'm going to leave
it alone. That's what I was waiting for.
Appreciate that, because I'm actually ready for some coffee.
I'm going to leave her alone.
I just want to say I did pretty good without coffee yet.
Oh, wow. There you go.
This is her first time on the show. We want her to come back. We'll get her next time.
I like that random question part.
Is the check mailed, or you just do Venmo?
No, it's mailed. It's mailed. Yeah, just wait.
We'll pass the collection plate around right now.
Appreciate that. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate you, and hopefully you come back.
Of course I'll come back.
Well, you were supposed to come on like 30 episodes ago.
Right.
And you're just...
I was supposed to be your first guest because I helped launch you. But, you know, Pastor Chris, I won't be mad about it because I love you to pieces. No, God's timing's always perfect.
Yes, it is.
And God, he had to take me through the wringing out of my life this last year to bring me to the place today where... You know, I feel like I can talk about things without boohooing the whole time, you know, snotting up your mic. So
I'm surprised you didn't cry. I'm actually surprised. This is good.
You know, God is, I have my moments. Just ask me a couple more minutes and I'll probably start. But,
yeah. All right, so normally we have a tradition around here. We ask our guests if they're willing and would like to pray us out.
Of course.
Awesome.
Of course. Let's pray. God, I just thank you. There's so many things I could take up hours just thanking you for who you are in my life personally. But I just want to thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you speak to us. And I pray that those out there right now that have never heard your name spoken the way we spoke it today, that you are powerful and mighty and gracious and good. And you care about us, God. I think that's what's so great is you care about each one of us individually, our dreams, our desires, our hopes. And I pray right now if anyone's out there, Lord, that just feels lost, feels alone, that they would just look up. They would look up and that you would wrap your arms around them like a warm blanket, wherever they are right now, that they would feel and sense your presence. And that they would reach out, God, to me, the Rough and Real podcast, and they would ask questions. Lord, I pray that you would be with these two men as they guide and lead their families, as they guide and lead other men, as they do this podcast, that you would empower them to speak life into people, that to give them hope. I pray that you would work through us in the way that only you know how. And for the lives out there that have a desire to walk with you and be mighty in your name, that you would bless them today. Be with us as we go our separate ways. I pray covering over my daughter, Rebecca, in Spain. We thank you for the goodness, God, that we sense whenever we're with you and with brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you be blessed today, God. I pray this podcast pleased you and that you had fun as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Pastor, again, thank you for coming by and hanging out with us for a little bit.
It's a pleasure.
Curtis, anything else? Last words?
Peace be with you.
That's it, my brother. Amen. All right, everybody. Remember, you can follow us on social medias. We got our Rough and Real Facebook and Instagram. Shoot us an email at theroughandrealpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys, interact with you guys. We respond to every email. So hit us up. This is Renee Perez and Curtis Owens. We are the Rough and Real Podcast. We are out.